different things to different people. Amen. Some people got the heart-shaped candy, boxes of candy. Somebody got flowers. Somebody got jewelry. Somebody had romantic plans for dinner. Amen. And just think about it. This Valentine's Day is going to be a record 196 million dollars spent on Valentine's Day. Some of those hearts that are given to you is a front. It's a lie. Come on now. You know I'm real. Don't make me start breaking this down now. Some of those hearts that you get is a lie, because they'll give you a candy heart, but they won't give you their heart. Sometimes they got to give you a card with nice words written in it, because they never have nice words to say. We do all of that to profess. Our love to one another. What happens on February 15th? We revert back to what we once was. Amen. But God is truly good to his people. He's given us more than we can ever deserve. And not just one day. He provided a means of salvation for us every day. On Valentine's Day, we like to say, oh, baby, I love you. I promise you I'm going to do right. Amen? But listen to the promises that God gives us. In Hebrews 13 and 5, he said, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. In Philippians 4 and 19, it says, and my God will meet, supply all, not just one day, according to the riches and glory in Jesus Christ. God doesn't have to just one day give us jewelry or flowers. In John 10 and 28, he says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Oh, that's a God that I love. I never knew love like that before. Amen. You know, you could have a relationship with somebody, and they'll see somebody that they believe or perceive as better, and that person can snatch that person right out of your hands. There used to be a song that I used to listen to all the time, Love Don't Love Nobody. Love don't love nobody. But I never knew a love like this before. Because this love loves everybody. Amen. I know a lot more could be said about this matter, but I think we realize that God has been good to us. And I was thinking about these things. I came to believe and realize that the greatest gift that God has ever given to his people is love. Hallelujah. The love of God for his people is everlasting. Amen. Jeremiah 31 and 3 says, the Lord of old has appeared unto me, saying, I have loved thee from everlasting with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. See, God doesn't just give us love, but he has loving kindness for us. Amen? His love is what motivated him to send his son Jesus to die on the cross. In fact, the greatest evidence of love, the love of God, is the death of Christ on the cross. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. So I want to say a couple of things about the Apostle Paul. You see, the Apostle Paul has been called the great apostle of faith. He can be distinguished from the Apostle John because John is the apostle of love. Therefore, when Paul talks about love, we need to pay attention to it just a little more than we usually do. So Paul talks about love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. And he says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Love vaunts not itself. Is not pulled up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Is not easily provoked. Rejoices not in iniquity. No, thinks no evil, but rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endure all things. And when we get to the start of the next verse, it says, love never fails. Amen? Love never fails. Man is going to fail you. Woman is going to fail you. Children will fail you. But love never fails. In this scripture, there is a talk and a hint of faith, hope, and love. Amen? But just to break it down for you a little bit, faith is a principle which we are continually acting in according to our life. The scriptures make much of faith. We say precious faith. We say that thy faith has saved thee. We say without faith it is impossible to please God. So faith is the first stone that is put down on the building, but it is not the foundation. Hope means to open your eyes wide and to watch for what is to come. When you look at children and they have hope, you can see that they have some level of expectation of what they're going to receive, some kind of gift. Hope is a lively expectation of obtaining those things that we desire. There is a delicate line between faith and hope. Hope expects. Faith inspects. Faith is looking atward while hope has our eyes on high. Faith is strong while hope trembles in expectation. Faith is quiet in possession. Hope leads outwards to see what will be. Faith holds on to what is. Hope idealizes. Faith realizes. Faith sees, hope foresees. But then the scripture says, but the greatest of all of these is love. That goes on to say that you can have faith. You can have the faith of a mustard seed. You can have the faith of the size of this building, the size of New Haven, the size of this earth. You can have hope eternal. But if you ain't got love, hallelujah. You see, love encompasses everything. In love, you have faith, and in love, you have hope. Hallelujah. That's why they say God is love. God is not faith. God is not hope, but God is love. Love is more expansive than hope and faith. In hope and faith, there's a little bit of selfishness in there. You see, you have hope for yourself, or hope for somebody you love. When you have faith, sometimes you have faith for your own self or somebody that you love. But if you want to be real about it, sometimes I ain't got faith in you. Sometimes you don't have faith in me. I don't have, my hope is not built on what I hope that you do. Your hope shouldn't be built on what you believe and hope that I would do. So there's a little bit of selfishness in there. It can't be wholesome. It's partial. Amen? But love is the prize itself, of which faith and hope must gradually put together to come into possession of somebody. And when you have love, hope and faith is already entwined in that. God is love. Amen? God can't even exercise faith. I said he can't even exercise faith. Who is God going to have faith in? God cannot exercise love. I'm sorry, hope. Who's God going to hope for? God cherishes love. He is not only cherishing love, but he is love. And when we think about love, we must think about the Creator. Amen? There's so many attributes that we can't even put on God because he's too expansive, too big for our thoughts. But one thing that we do know, if there's a label that we can put on God, it is love. When Jesus Christ came down, the Lord brought down the love of his Father to this world. He knew that this world that he was coming into was ignorant. He knew that the world he was coming into had a lot of errors in it. He knew that the world that he was coming into had a lot of sin. So God, Jesus didn't come down here with just any kind of love. He didn't come in with the heart-shaped candy love that we use today. He came in with divine love. And there's not a whole lot of commandments that Jesus made. But this commandment he did give to us. Love one another. And the reason why he said love one another is because he said, by this all men shall know that ye are my disciples, if you love one to another. It takes preeminence in the place in the mind of the King Jesus Christ that love is supreme among all other laws that were placed around here. Amen? When I got saved, when I started to understand just a little bit about the love of Christ, I can truly say I never knew love like this before. Oh, hallelujah. If you know what I'm talking about, give the Lord a hand right now. I search for love. I'm going to change the word to the song. I search for love all over. I search for love, and I couldn't find it. But I found it in Jesus Christ. So many people walking around looking for love, but looking for love in all the wrong places. Searched all over. Couldn't find it. Love is an end in itself. Love is the bond of perfectedness. Grace and faith will go together, but love covers everything. God's greatest gift to the church is the love that he has for you and I. Amen? His love is superior to everything else we can ever do, say, be, or want. We can talk about love. But when we just talk about love, it's just a lot of noise. Without love, talk is cheap. You know, a person can talk and they can speak so well, amen, that it can move your emotions. A person can give so much rhetoric, it can move your mind. A great speech can move somebody's will. But God's great heart can move your heart. I can talk all that I want to, amen? But if God's love doesn't move your heart, it's going to stay right there, amen? What makes God so great? The Bible in one sentence, in three words, God is love. Amen? And as we sit here today, we want to know, well, and if you want to know why should we love God? I'm going to say this. How many parents are in here today? You can raise your hand. I'm not going to bite you. You know, as a parent, when your baby is going to be born, and in anticipation of that, sometimes we wonder, who's the baby going to look like? Is it going to be on look like my side of the family or your side of the family? Is it going to look like the brother? Is it going to look like the sister? What's the baby going to look like? Amen. I venture to say years ago when we had our first son, we got on the train. And these young people got on the train. And we were sitting in the corner of the train. And they got on the train. And they just looked at us, me and my wife and my first son. And they just started laughing. And I'm wondering what they're laughing about. But they were laughing because the boy looked so much like me. Filled me up with pride. Amen. Have you looked at your children and say, that's my boy. They look just like you. And somebody say, oh, your daughter looks just like you. Your grandson looks just like you. Don't it fill you up with pride? But let me tell you something about God. The Bible says we should love God because he loves us. Because in Genesis 1 and 27, it says, God created mankind in his own image. in the image of God. He created them. Don't you know that God loves you so much that he created you in his own image, that you look just like him? Amen? See, we tend to look at the physical, but not the spiritual. Amen? Because God designed our minds. God designed our souls. He created us with the ability to see past ourselves. You know what? God has the ability to see past himself. Because if he couldn't see past himself, maybe he wouldn't have that great love that he has for us. Amen? He created us with the ability to love, to create, to cry, to laugh. Something no other intelligent being on this earth can do. Amen? Have you ever seen a snake cry? Have you ever seen a chicken cry? There's another reason to love God. You are his masterpiece. Oh, my God. I need some masterpiece people in here to give the Lord a praise right now. I said, he made you his masterpiece. You are his crowning achievement. You don't have to worry about what somebody says about you. God made you the way he wants you to be. You are a masterpiece. The Bible says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus Christ. So we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. I want to know this morning, when you're looking at yourself in the mirror, do you see a masterpiece? Do you see what God sees in us when he look at us? Some of us do like this, oh, when we look at ourselves in the mirror. Amen? Only maybe because of some of the things that have gone on in our life. When we look at the mirror, we see sin is there. We see the hangover from the night before. We see the relationship that we shouldn't have been involved in. We see all of these things. We see the person that we cursed out yesterday. And we look and we say, did I do that? Did I do that? And we just don't feel like the masterpiece that God has created us to be. You might not feel like a masterpiece, but don't feel, your feel doesn't change who you are. Come on, somebody. How you feel on a certain moment, at a certain point in time, does not deem who you are. It is a momentary situation. God sees you as a one in a trillion, priceless masterpiece. I didn't say one in a million. I said one in a trillion masterpiece that he has created in you. God is so creative that he doesn't have to make me like you. He can make you a little different. We might have some similarities, but we're different. Here's another thing that you have to love about God, because God loves you. He is your father. You see, John, 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. So we are. If that don't give you confidence, if that doesn't show you love, I can't really understand what will show you love. Who are we that we have been called the children of God, the Most High God, the God that created everything, the God that is the master, the creator, who created everything, that has everything? You know, as a child, there's nothing like, I'm going to go tell. I'm going to go tell my father. There's some strength in that, those words, amen? Sometimes you looked at the individual and you don't know how big, how strong that father was, but there was a fear factor that when somebody says, wait right here. Don't go, don't, no, you bad, wait right here. I'm going to go get my father. You know when the devil gets after you and them demons start chasing you and start putting you down? Don't you know you call on the name of Jesus and say, wait right here. Wait right here. I'm going to get my father. I'm his child. I'm going to get my father. Don't run, demon. Stay right here. Stay here. I'm going to get him. Because I'm his child. You should love him because in Corinthians it says exactly what we read this morning. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies. I need mercy. I need somebody to show me a little mercy in my life. Amen? I don't need for everything to be so hard. I don't want to feel like as I go uphill, nobody's helping me go uphill. I need some mercy because when the enemy attacks me, I need somebody to give me a little relief. I need somebody to look down and see something that I'm going through and show me some mercy. And it says, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. When you are hurting, you go to God. In all of your afflictions, you go to God. And you say, God, help me. In the name of Jesus, I'm calling on your name to help me. This pain in my hip, I need a little help today, Lord. Father, I can't really make it to the train today, but Lord, help me get to the train. I'm sick, and I need your help. But wait a minute. He's not just there to help you in your affliction. He said, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. There's a reason why you go through the things that you go through. So you can experience what you have to experience so you can help others. So when somebody's going through, you can say, I went through it. But God. Can you say, but God? Which we are comforted ourselves by God. Let me say another thing why we should love God and how much he loves us. You know, when I was a kid, I used to sit up there in church and sing. He got the whole world. So don't let nobody tell you what you can and you can't have. The Bible says in Psalms 8, 4 to 6, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. You made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made. Put in all things. The Bible says he put all things. Not some, but he put all things under our authority. Don't you know that you have authority this morning? Your God loves you so much. He trusts you when he didn't have to trust you. Based on our track record, he didn't have to continue to trust us. Amen? I need you to look at yourself right now, because based on your track record, he didn't have to trust you. Based on my track record, he didn't have to trust me, but he trusts me. And he put all things under my authority. He put all things under your authority. And if you don't get it, I'll make it plain for you. You know, when you go and buy that new BMW and your son or your daughter want to drive it, and you say no, you don't trust them. Because it cost too much money. But God loved so much that when he created this earth, this world, he gave us authority over everything. That is love. That is love. Let me tell you about the love of the Father. He gave you his son. He says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible then turns around and says, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Hallelujah. That God gave his son, the only one he had, and gave it to us. Go down there, son. Straighten it out. And when you get near the end, I want those people to think that they can kill you. But you know, in the process of going through that, there's going to be some pain. There's going to be a little bloodshed. There's going to be some spitting. There's going to be some sticking you in the side. There's going to be some gambling going around for your clothes. They're going to take a crown of thorns and place it on your head. They're going to call your names. But I love them. You ever seen somebody in a relationship and you don't know why they're there? And they say, well, I love them. God is like, well, I love them. No matter what you do, I love them. You might do some things I don't agree with. I told you not to do, but I love you. God got some crazy love for us. Crazy love. And let me tell you something. What God does it, and you can't say that he won't do it. Amen? He took Abraham. He said, Abe, go on down there. Take your son Isaac. I want you to lay him on out there. You want to show me that you love me? You lay your boy out there. Lay him out. You love me? You say you love me? You say, words is cheap. Talk is cheap. Take Isaac out there. Don't worry about what he's going to say. Don't worry about what he's thinking. Don't worry about the answering the questions that he's going to ask you. Put him out there. And there was a ram in the bush. And God said, you know, Abraham, you did it for me. And now I know you really love me. So now look at God. He can't talk about Abraham because God said he so loved the world. So now he had to give his son. I don't know if you got that one. I don't know if you got that one. I don't know if you got that one. But he turned around and he gave his son. Never ask you to do something he wouldn't go through himself. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. We sing the song, I am a friend of God. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. Here's another reason why you should love God and love the Lord. Have you ever been put aside? Have you ever been tossed aside? Have you ever felt like you're not good enough? Have you ever stood in a line and somebody picked people and they didn't pick you? How discouraging that can be. How upsetting that can be. Sometimes you just want to tear down whatever you're around when you ain't picked. But I want to say to you this morning that you, everybody in here this morning, are God's plan A. He didn't pick me over you. He's not picking you over me. We are all God's plan A. Because God is big enough for all of us. Amen? The Bible says God had a plan for you. God has no plan B for you. God has a plan for you. He says in Jeremiah 29 and 11, for I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have a plan for you to prosper, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. Hallelujah. You know what's wrong is we all grow up making plans for our lives. Amen. And even when our plans don't work, we still try another plan. When our plans don't go our way, we just start thinking, why haven't our plans gone the way that we planned them? But have you ever thought that God has a plan for you and your plan is never going to work? Because God has a plan for you. Don't forget that you got an A plan that God has given for your life. And he didn't make any mistakes. You might have a plan B. If this don't work, I'm going to do that. God don't have a plan B for your life. He has a plan for your life. He doesn't give you a lot of choices. He don't say, well, I'm going to give you some choices for your life. He only give you a choice of whether you're going to serve him or not. There's no plan B. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about, well, here are the alternatives. Straight road, narrow road, wide road. Which one are you going to take? God has plans. And we can read the instructions. Let's not forget we're God's plan A. Another reason that we should love God, because we have a plan A. He says, but you are a chosen. Remember, I said, you've been in line. And disappointed and disgusted and frustrated because nobody ever picked you. Or they picked somebody else over you. But God says, no, you are a chosen generation. A royal. You know, when you're a child of the king, that means you're a prince or a princess.
a royal
generation, a holy nation, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them. I always say this to people this, either you're going to give up and give in, or you're going to get pushed. Or you're going to get pushed. Sometimes he pushes you in, and sometimes he pushes you aside. Which push are you going to get? But you might get pushed. God tells us that I don't make trash. Ephesians 2 and 10. I don't make trash. I don't make anything worthless. How many times have somebody called you garbage? How many times has somebody called you worthless? But God tells me, my God tells me, that I don't make trash. I don't make things that you just throw away and put them in the dumpster. I don't make anything or anybody that's worthless. Everybody is worth something. No matter what people tell you, you are valuable to God. You're valuable to the kingdom. He didn't make you for nothing. He has plans for your life. Oh, hallelujah. You are my masterpiece. Wouldn't it be so nice when you go home to your wife or your husband or your kids and they say, Mommy, you my masterpiece. Oh, my God. Daddy, you my masterpiece. But God says to you and to me, you are my masterpiece. You are my creation. You're everything that when I thought about making man, when I thought about making woman, you are exactly what I wanted it to be. When you look at the masterpiece that God created, look in that mirror. Because God created you a masterpiece. Amen? The masterpiece that he has created in you is worth millions of dollars more than they could have ever put on any patent. The masterpiece he created in you is priceless. Nobody can be you but you. They might want to be like you. There might be similarities, but they're not you. Amen? God is the one who controls everything that is possible for us. Amen? God is love. So when I look at the landscape today, it appears we have lost the wonderful love that God has for us. We have lost the goodness, the greatness of the gift that God gave to us. That little candy heart might be gone of candy right now. You're going to take that box and you're going to throw it away. Them red roses, they're going to dry on up. Sometimes we hold them and we press them into a card or we do this or we do that. But when you open that card, they fall out. You're trying to recapture something that happened in the past. But God is love, everlasting love. God never dries up. He never falls out. God is so deep, that he didn't withhold anything from us. How many of us never withheld anything from anybody? If you are, stand up. God never withheld anything from us. I never knew love like that before. I could ask my wife, you have some money? She might say, no, she ain't got no money. She might ask me, do I have some money? I might say, huh? I'm making it plain. But we live lives where we withhold things. Amen? But we serve a God who never, ever, ever, ever withheld anything from us. Matter of fact, he has given us the keys . You know that one key can open any door. That one key can unlock any lock. That one key. One key. That key is love. Hallelujah. I never knew love like that before. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm ever going to feel that from anybody human. The love that God has for me. As a matter of fact, it's impossible for somebody to love me like God loves me. I can't tell somebody, die right now for me. That ain't gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna be able to tell somebody, no matter all the sins that I did, forgive me. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Have you forgiven everybody of everything they ever done to you? It's in your sea of remembrance because you say, I forgive you, but I ain't forgot. But God, he takes everything and he puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. You know, God, we broke his heart. Did I tell you I ain't always been saved? There's a song, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart? But we broke God's heart. He gave us everything. And in the beginning, right away, we couldn't pay attention long enough. I know it was a little longer than a week, right? Because in the beginning, he created heaven and earth, and then, right? Then he created us. How long did it take for us to just sin? But even still, have you ever done something that you were just so messed up about? And you say, Lord, I wonder if they're ever going to forgive me for that. God forgave us for that with a price. With a price. God was hard on us in the Old Testament. Because when you did something he really didn't like, he punished you. But when Jesus Christ came along, he just changed the whole nature of our relationship with Christ. There's something called grace and mercy right now. That no matter what it is, he's still over there saying, no, Pop, remember, we don't do that no more. We give them another chance. We pour out our love all over them, Lord. Love is stronger than the hate. Love is stronger than destroying. Love is more stronger than beating down upon them. Sometimes I wonder if it had not been for Christ on our side, where would we be today? Without the love of Christ on your side, where would you be today? Without the love of Christ on your side, I never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you go through, God is on your side. Jesus is right there beside you. You'll never walk alone. No matter what it is that you do, there's always four people in that room with you. When you know the Lord, it's you, it's the Father, it's the Son, and it's the Holy Ghost. Never alone. I never felt love like that before. That love surrounds me. Even when I'm physically lonely, it encamps around me. I never knew love like that before. I've been in love, and sometimes love makes me feel lonely. But the love of Christ, I never felt love like that before. You can be here today. You could be in Antarctica by yourself. But if you know the Lord, you'll never feel alone. I never felt love like that before. If you want that kind of love, it's here. It's in Jesus Christ. You'll never walk alone. You'll never be alone. You'll never say, I'm all alone. The last book of the Bible, Revelations. John could have sat there on the island of Patmos thinking that he's all alone. But God put him there for a reason. He had to give him the vision to write Revelations for us. Amen. There was no interference by man. There was nobody knocking on the door. There was nobody coming to get him. There was a reason for it. Sometimes God puts us in a position for his reason. But you're never alone. When you know what you know, what you know, when you know that God loves you, when you know it, you're never alone. When you know how great God's love is, you'll never know love like that before. Even when if you get out of the will of God and you go sin and do all of these things, you're going to run back in because you want to feel the love that you're not getting out there because you don't know love like this. There is no love like this. This is the greatest love, the love of God. Let us stand this morning.